The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, thank you for that. Take your Bible, if you will, and let's go to look at some scriptures tonight I think will be helpful. And look at Genesis chapter 13. Look at verse 13. The Bible says, "The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Look at Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1. The Bible says, "And there came two angels to Sodom," "at evening." Now we know that men, that angels were of the male stature. A matter of fact, if somebody says to you one day, and you're a lady, they say, "You remind me of an angel." What they're saying is, "You remind me of a man." And so that is not really a good compliment. The Bible says here, "And there came two angels to Sodom at evening." The Bible says, "And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom." Now understand where he's sitting. He's sitting there in the gate. By the way, that's where the leaders of the city would sit. That's where those that were in charge, if you would please, the governmental program of the city would sit. These were the city officials that would sit there, those that would make rules and enforce rules, make laws and enforce laws. And the Bible says, "And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them and bowed himself," it says, "with his face toward the ground." In verse 4, look down if you will, it says, "But before they lay down, the men of the city," now these are the same men that we talked about a few moments ago. These were the ones that were described as wicked. These were the ones that were described as sinners before the Lord exceedingly. The Bible says, "Compassed the house round, both young and old." It says, all the people from every quarter. And so these were those that had a lifestyle that they were practicing, both that were young and both that were old. The Bible says in verse 5, the Bible says, "And they called on to Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." The word "know" is the same word as Adam did know Eve. The word "know" is the same word that you would find as a husband would know his wife. It is an activity between a husband and a wife that's deemed only proper inside of the bonds of marriage. And yet they wanted to take this outside of that which is the realm of that which God himself would bless. So the subject matter tonight is, why is sodomy being accepted now? Why is it being accepted now? By the way, it's been around for thousands of years, but in America, it's never been accepted before. Now, why is it being accepted now? I want us to take a Bible study tonight. I want to show you why it's being accepted here in the U.S. Look at Genesis chapter 13. By the way, let God be true and every man a liar. All right, Genesis chapter 13 and verse 10, the Bible says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan." It says that it was well watered everywhere. It says, "Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah." All right, so the Bible teaches that he was looking for that which was a well watered area. And the Bible teaches that he lifted up his eyes and he beheld the plain of Jordan. So first off, we see this, that Lot looked toward that which was Sodom. So he looked towards that. And can I tell you, that's where it all starts. Where the world gets your attention and you start looking that way, that's where it all begins. And can I tell you also that there is more advertisements today where those that are practicing a perverted lifestyle are selling something. And can I tell you, it's not just the product that they're advertising. They're selling something. They're selling a lifestyle. That's how come when you see on television broadcasting, and isn't something now, they tell me, now we don't have a television in our home, but they tell me on the television set for that which is a television family time or whatever that is, where I guess it's between the time of maybe 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock or something like that, they're saying that there is more relationships that are ungodly than there is godly. Now, what is that? When you start looking at stuff like that, you begin to think, well, you know, it must be okay. I mean, after a while, you can be indoctrinated by stuff that will ruin you forever. And so what is taking place in America is we're being sold a bill of goods. We're being sold that it's okay. Well, can I tell you, if you read the book of Leviticus, the Bible says that it's an abomination in chapter 18 for a man to lie down with a man or for a woman to lie down with a woman. God says that that's an abomination. But here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches, however, there's a progression towards that. We can find that in the Lot life, if you will. The very life of Lot. The Lot life. The Lot life that he lived. We'll be able to see exactly how all of a sudden now he found himself sitting in the gate. First off, you see that Lot looked toward Sodom. He began to give it a little bit of notice. And by the way, you listen to me, you can't help but notice it in America today. You cannot help but see it in America today. Now, can I tell you, from the beginning, it was not that way. See, the Bible teaches that first there has to be a look. And so there is that look as Lot looked toward Sodom. Wait a minute. First you look and you begin to see, well, you know, okay, I see it. But if you stare at it long enough, it keeps your attention. If you give it your attention long enough, before you know it, you begin to think about it. Now watch this. Here's the progression, if you will. Look at Genesis chapter 13 and verse 11. The Bible says, and Lot chose, it says, him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east. So first he looked, then he took his journey. Well, you know, Mom, Dad, I know that this is a good show, but I mean, after all, it's only got just this one person in it that's not right. So let's take a journey down to Walmart and purchase the DVD. You know, everybody else on there is straight. And so it's okay to watch it because after all, it can't be that bad. And then you begin to take your journey. The Bible says that Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east. The Bible says, and they separated themselves. It says, one from the other. Now, by the way, normally it's the ungodly that separates from the godly. You say, well, I tell you what, I've got worldly friends. Can I tell you, if you stand up for Jesus, most of the time, your worldly friends are going to leave you. You don't have to worry about becoming worldly if you take your stand. When I see all of a sudden, here's a young person having trouble, here's a young person that's worldly, and they're hanging around somebody else all the time, and that person is enjoying that fellowship, and is just loving it, it's telling me who they really are. Now, can I tell you tonight, here's where it starts. Lot looked toward Sodom. Statement number two, Lot leaned toward Sodom. Look at it, if you will, in verse 12 of chapter 13. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan. The Bible says, and Lot dwelt, it says, in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent, it says, toward Sodom. So not only did he look down there, but he pitched his tent toward it. What's he doing? He is leaning that direction. You know, Mom and Dad, they saw this film, they saw this movie, it came across, and that which was the living room, so I glanced at it as I went by. It's one thing to glance at it as you're going by, as you're in your journey to your bedroom. It's another thing to sit down and pitch your tent towards it so that now you take it in. It's one thing to hear rock and roll music as you're going to the mall. Hear rock and roll music as you're heading down a school, public school highway or a hallway. It's another thing to start playing it in your own car. See, here's what he did. He pitched his tent. He liked it so much, he put the lip of his tent there where he could see the city every single night. By the way, are you listening to me? No child of God ought to have liquor inside of their refrigerator. No child of God ought to have cigarettes inside of the house. No child, you say, you're just picking on a perverted lifestyle tonight. No, let me pick on everything. No child of God ought to have that which is movies that contains any type of nudity in it inside of their house. If you want to be pure and right before God, don't pitch your tent in the wrong direction. I'm saying tonight, Lot looked toward Sodom. Lot not only looked, but he leaned toward Sodom. The Bible says in verse 13 of Genesis chapter 13, the Bible says in the men of Sodom, the Bible says were wicked and sinners before the Lord. Didn't just say wicked and sinners before the Lord. Notice the emphasis the Holy Ghost gave it. Exceeding. Exceedingly. Wasn't something that was just wicked. Wasn't something that, oh, that's just a sin. No, this is exceedingly sinful. This is exceedingly wicked. All right, so notice now, and by the way, Peter did that. Peter steps of backsliding. He boasted on himself. He neglected prayer. He ignored Christ's warnings in his life. He followed afar off. He found himself sitting in bad company, and then he rejected Christ. Hey, can I help you tonight? I worry about Christians that don't get all the way in. Because if you got one foot in and one foot out, I'm going to tell you eventually where you're going to land. Person says, well, I believe in soul winning. I just don't go with the church. You don't believe in soul winning. You got one foot in and one foot out. And buddy, let me tell you what, where you're going to fall. Well, I believe in going to church. I just don't go. I don't lie about that. Hey, you believe in going to church? Get your body in church. Well, I believe in reading the Bible. I just never open it. Then you don't believe it. Amen. Stop trying to be that spiritual giant that keeps falling on your face. You be that person. If you believe it, rise up and obey it. Stop being a weak-kneed Christian. You get out there. Our world needs to see somebody living for God, standing for God, doing what is right. Stop being a Nancy-Pansy type of Christian. Got lace on your underwear. But I'm saying tonight, Lot looked toward Sodom. He looked at it. He watched it. Then after a while, he leaned toward Sodom. Then after a while, you find him living in Sodom. First he looked. Then he pointed his tent. Now he's living there. Now, don't get mad at me tonight, but you probably already are. But it used to be a day when bracelets were for girls. You say, you're nitpicking. Uh-huh. Used to be a day when neck laces, don't you think that ought to tell you something? Used to be a day when necklaces were for girls. Don't get mad at me, I'm not done yet. Used to be a day when earrings were for girls. Used to be a day when paisley colors were for girls. Man says, well, I tell you what, I wear pink shirts, and let me just tell you what. It doesn't affect my humanity. I'm not worried about you. I'm worried about that boy around the corner who wants to kiss you. But you better start realizing that you are that which is written, known, and read by all men. We live in a world that we have to live above reproach on purpose, because even more today, can I tell you why? Because more today we have wickedness and perversion in our nation than ever before. Today we got masculine women and feminine boys. I think sometimes our boys get confused with coolness and weakness. Somebody says, well, I just am this way because I'm cool. No, you might be ignorant or you might be weak. But cool, I'm not sure about that. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm still having fun just a little bit. When it first came out, they said if you have an earring in one ear, you remember which one it was? Have an earring in one ear, it said that you are queer. If you had an earring in the other ear, that meant you were cool. But either way, you're only 18 inches from the other, so it might have meant if you had one in both, you were a cool queer. By the way, I know our mayor well in our city, and I thank God that he is a man that will stand his ground. Now watch this. Here we see this. Lot lived in Sodom. The Bible teaches, here's what happened. The Bible says in chapter 14 and verse 12, the Bible says, and they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son. The Bible says, and listen to it now if you would please, and it says, and dwelt in Sodom, and it says, in his goods, and departed. Now, so here's what happened now. Lot is living in the very city that first he looked at. By the way, listen to me. You can look at something and pass by, but you start staring at it. You start listening to that music. Eventually, that music begins to fill your soul, and it will contaminate you. You start listening to be rebellious. Hey, you listen to that junk long enough, you're going to rise up, and you're going to be rebellious. You hang around those guys and those gals that, they just skirt the rules of the house. They skirt it. Well, I don't have any respect for my daddy. You should. He's letting you live there for free. Now, I'm saying tonight, Lot looked toward Sodom. He leaned toward Sodom. He lived in Sodom. Not only that, but he lost his testimony in Sodom. What a sad connotation. Here's a man, has daughters, sons-in-laws, and he wasn't living for God so much that when he gave the warning of God, they kind of laughed at him and mocked at him. Come on. Are you living such a pathetic example of a Christian life in your home that your little girl, your little boy is going to rise up and laugh at you? Hey, you heard two of these girls. One talked about soul winning, hopefully leading mama to Christ. The other one talked about how hurt so bad, there's a lack of trust. Hey, can I tell you? Many times the hurt begins at home. Here's what the Bible says. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 14. The Bible says, and Lot went out and he spake unto his sons-in-law. The Bible says, Genesis chapter 19 and verse 14, it says, which married his daughters and said, get you out, it says, of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. And he seemed as one that mocketh unto his sons-in-laws. Do you live such a pathetic lifestyle that behind your back your wife thinks you're a joke? Do you live such a pathetic lifestyle that behind your back your wife is talking to other women saying, yeah, he pretends to be spiritual. Please pray for him because you don't know how he really is. Do the people down at the workplace look at you and they say, yeah, he's just a fake because I've seen him walk outside with a bottle? Look, I'm saying tonight he lost his testimony. You know, it's a hard thing to keep a testimony. You know, there's that which is the flesh and that which is the spirit that's combating one another all the time. Paul said he had trouble with it. He said that the spirit lusteth against that which is the flesh. It's contrary one to another. The flesh against the spirit. They're contrary one to another. There's always that inward battle. Somebody said the one you feed the most is the one that gets victory that day. There's always that inward battle. Lot lost his joy, lost his family, Lot lost his testimony. He was tormented. He lost his honor. Sometimes you hear preachers preach and they blame Abraham. Well, if Abraham would have simply just prayed, God, if there would be five people, just five, would you spare that which is Sodom? But why did he stop at 10? Well, maybe he figured that Lot would be righteous enough at least to keep his family straight. Maybe he thought that Lot would be a soul winner enough at least to lead somebody to Christ, do something spiritual. But he didn't do that. You understand what is happening here as I get ready to close it. Lot looked toward Sodom. He leaned toward Sodom. He lived in Sodom. He lost his testimony in Sodom. Now watch this. And he learned about sin in Sodom. That's where he learned about sin. Come on. What's it like when the grandkids come over your house? What do they see? What do they see? What happens when the children come over your house? What do they see? By the way, what is your friends showing you? What do you see? Here's what it says in chapter 19 of verse 30. The Bible says, and he went up out, it says, of Zoar, and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him. Now here he is. He's dwelling in a cave. He's going from sitting in a seat of prosperity because of sin, loving the pleasure of sin for a season, to dwelling in a cave. Now, by the way, it'd be far better to dwell in a cave than to be the prosperous one in the city that's full of wicked and sinful this excessively. You understand this tonight, that here he is, and as these men came around, think about the wickedness of this. The Bible says that these men come past his house round about, young and old. You remember that? Young and old. Here's what they said. Said, we noticed that two men came into the city, and we know that they're dwelling with you. We want you to bring them out that we may know them. Here's what Lot says. Shows you how backslidden he was. He said, well, my two daughters have not known men. Let me give them to you. How wicked. How uncaring. How insensitive could you be? Can I tell you that when you dwell in that which is a city of sin, you become very desensitized to that which is wrong. And then you begin to excuse it away. And then you begin to say, well, let me tell you what, I'll even give you a part of my household, a part of my soul. Hey, you're not supposed to do that. Somebody has to take a stand. Can I tell you, that somebody ought to be you. Somebody says, well, I tell you what, you know, I just think that they were born that way, that a homosexual or a lesbian, they were born that way. They're not born that way. It's a choice. By the way, it's a wrong choice. I've talked to many people that's been involved in such a gross, may I say it again, such a gross, may I say it one more time, and such a gross sin. And I've asked them questions such as this: who hurt you? Why are you living this way? I want to know who hurt you. I've never met one, not one, that has been able to say, nobody hurt me, this was a choice. Every single one of those people has said, I was hurt as a child, I was hurt as a teenager, I got frustrated, I made a choice. Now, I beg you tonight, if they can make a choice to go that way, why can't you make a choice to go the straight way? If they made a choice to do that which is inherently wrong, then why don't you make a choice that is something that God Himself has placed in you as a born-again believer to do that which is right? Let me give you this, and I'm done. Last statement. Lot lost everything good in Sodom. He lost everything good in Sodom. You think about it. Lost son-in-laws. lost daughters, if you will, because of what was taking place there. His wife's following him out. Temptation overcomes her. Looks back. Lost his wife. Everything that was near and dear to his heart, he even lost his own tent. Didn't even have a tent left. Had to go find a cave somewhere. Lost it all. See, that's how come we want to keep it right. So a preacher, sometimes you have different types of rules, and you say, boy, you ought not to do this. Hey, we're trying to help you to keep it right. Yeah. Value that. Thank God for that. Yeah. Don't work against that. Rise up and let God be the one that will help you to go forward and keep it right all the way. Yeah. I'm saying tonight, begins with a look. Begins with a look. Begins with a look. Well, you know, maybe it's something I ought to consider. No. 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 Well, maybe if I consider it a little while and I just lean that way, then I can feel if it's right or not. You cannot trust your imaginary. Our Bible teaches that your heart is wicked, sir. My heart is wicked. You can't trust your heart. People come to me all the time and they say, well, let me tell you what I feel like God wants me to do. Well, first off, can I tell you, if you feel like it, it's probably not of God. Because God don't lead you by feelings. Let Him lead you by principle. Let Him lead you by truth. Now, here's the hard thing. God expects you to do what's right. God expects you to do what's right. There's nothing wrong with be holy even as I'm holy. Amen. And God said that. There's nothing wrong from coming out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. There's nothing wrong with wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed according to thy word. There's nothing wrong with thy word if I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. There's nothing wrong with a young person keeping themselves pure and a young person setting higher standards rather than falling beneath that which is even the common denominators that is acceptable in our Western civilization. There's nothing wrong with living above reproach. When I got saved and I went off to Bible school, for those 2 years, when my parents would write back notes, I'd write them a letter and they'd tear it up, put it in an envelope, said, you're no longer my son. And I remember the lonely years. Now listen to me good. But then I remember later my daddy saying, boy, I tell you what, I really need what you have. Somebody needs to see something different. Somebody says, well, if I live like them, I can reach them. You can live not like them and reach more. Can I tell you tonight, first, there's that which is simply the looking. Then there's the leaning. Then as we progress on, you begin to see that as you lean, you begin to learn more and more and more. And as you begin to learn more and more and more, if you're not careful, here's what's going to happen. It's going to develop a taste inside of you so that now you want to live there. But when you start living there, you lose your testimony. Once you lose your testimony, can I tell you, it's very hard to get back. And before you know it, you'll be living a life that you ought not to be living and learning more and more, and you'll lose everything you got. Why can't we be right? Why can't we keep it right? Why do we stop? I preached a message to our college chaplain, to our academy chaplain this past week about living casually. And as you live casually, most of the time you wind up being a casualty. And can I tell you, that's where I see a lot of young people at. Because, you know, it doesn't really matter. We just are casual about it. That's how come your Bible reading's not where it should be. Prayer life not where it should be. Never pass out a gospel tract because it never hits your brain. It's a casual living. Father, help us tonight, please.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.